ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ಸ್ತುಲೇಷ್ಮರಿ ಭಕ್ತವರಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮನಿತ್ಯನಾಮನೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರಿವರಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶನಿವರಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾಚಾರಿಣಿ. ಸೊ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಆಲ್ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಭಾಗವತ್ ಸಂ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ವಿ ಗನ್ ಬಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 8 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 3 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 17 ಟುಡೇ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಮಾದೃಕ್ ಪ್ರಪಾನ ಪಶುಪಾಶ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷನಾಯ, ಮುಕ್ತಾಯ ಭೂರಿ ಕುರುನಾಯ ನಮೋ ಲಠನು ಬೃಂಮನಸಿ ಪ್ರತೀಥ. ಪ್ರತ್ಯಗ್ದೃಶೇ ಭಗವತೆ ಬೃಹತೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ. ಪ್ರಭುಜೀಸ್, ಮಾದೃಗ್ ಪ್ರಪಾನ ಪಶುಪಾಶ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷನಾಯ ಮುಕ್ತಾಯ ಭೂರಿ ಕರುಣಾಯ ನಮೋಲಯಾಯ. ಸ್ವಂಶೇನ ಸರ್ವ ತನು ಬೃಂಮನಸಿ ಪ್ರತೀತ. ಪ್ರತ್ಯಗ್ದೃಶೇ ಭಗವತೆ ಬೃಹತೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ. ಮಾದೃಕ್ ಪ್ರಪಾನ ಪಶುಪಾಶ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷನಾಯ, ಮುಕ್ತಾಯ ಭೂರಿ ಕರುಣಾಯ ನಮೋಲಯಾಯ. ಸ್ವಂಶೇನ ಸರ್ವ ತನು ಬೃಂಮನಸಿ ಪ್ರತೀತ. ಪ್ರತ್ಯಗ್ದೃಶೇ ಭಗವತೆ ಬೃಹತೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ. ಮಾದೃಗ್ ಪ್ರಪಾನ ಪಶುಪಾಶ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷನಾಯ, ಮುಕ್ತಾಯ ಭೂರಿ ಕುರುನಾಯ ನಮೋಲಯಾಯ. ಸ್ವಂಶೇನ ಸರ್ವ ತನು ಬೃಂಮನಸಿ ಪ್ರತೀತ. ಪ್ರತ್ಯಗ್ದೃಶೇ ಭಗವತೆ ಬೃಹತೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ. ಮಾತಾಜೀಸ್, ಮಾದೃಕ್ ಪ್ರಪಾನ ಪಶುಪಾಶ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷನಾಯ, ಮುಕ್ತಾಯ ಭೂರಿ ಕರುಣಾಯ ನಮೋಲಯಾಯ. ಸ್ವಂಶೇನ ಸರ್ವ ತನು ಬೃಂ ಮನಸಿ ಪ್ರತೀತ. ಪ್ರತ್ಯಗ್ದೃಶೇ ಭಗವತೆ ಬೃಹತೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ. ಮಾದೃಕ್ ಪ್ರಪಾನ ಪಶುಪಾಶ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷನಾಯ, ಮುಕ್ತಾಯ ಭೂರಿ ಕರುಣಾಯ ನಮೋಲಯಾಯ. ಸ್ವಂಶೇನ ಸರ್ವ ತನು ಬೃಂಮನಸಿ ಪ್ರತೀತ. ಪ್ರತ್ಯಗ್ದೃಶೇ ಭಗವತೆ ಬೃಹತೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ. ಸೊ ಲೆಟ್ಸ್ ಗೋ ಥ್ರೂ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ವರ್ಡ್. ಮಾದೃಕ್, ಲೈಕ್ ಮೀ. ಪ್ರಪಾನ, ಸರೆಂಡರ್ಡ್. ಪಾಶು, ಎನ್ ಆನಿಮಲ್. ಪಾಶ, from entanglement. Vimokshanaya, unto he who releases. Muktaya, unto the supreme. who is untouched by the contamination of material nature. Bhuri Karunaya, who are unlimitedly merciful. Nama, I offer my respectful obeisances. Alayaya, who are never inattentive or idle for the purpose of my deliverance. Svaangshena, by your partial feature as Paramatma. Sarva, of all. Tanubrit, the living entities embodied in material nature. Manasi, in the mind. Pratita, who are acknowledged. Pratyakdrishe, as the direct observer of all activities. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brihate, who are unlimited. Nama, I offer my respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. Translation. Since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me. By your partial feature as Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me by your partial feature as Paramatma. You are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The words Brihate Namaste have been explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Brihate Shri Krishnaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. There are many tattvas, such as Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva, and Shakti Tattva. But above everything is the Vishnu Tattva, which is all-pervading. This all-pervading feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 42, wherein the Lord says, Atava bahunaitena kim yatena tavarjuna vistabhyaham idam kritstam ikangshena stito jagat. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Thus Krishna says that to enter the hearts of all living entities and even enter the atoms. Andantadasta padamanuchayantadastam. Every universe is full of atoms, and the Lord is not only within the universe, but also within the atoms. Thus within every atom, the Supreme Lord exists in his Vishnu feature as Paramatma. But all the Vishnu tattvas emanate from Krishna. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10.2, Aham Adir Hi Devanam, Krishna is the Adi, or beginning of the Devas of this material world, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshvara. Therefore he is described here as Bhagavate Brihate. Everyone is Bhagavan. Everyone possesses opulence. But Krishna is Brihan Bhagavan, the possessor of unlimited opulence. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the origin of everyone. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. Even Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar come from Krishna. Mata Paratatam Nanyat Kinchadasti Dhananjaya. There is no personality superior to Krishna. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Bhagavate Brihate means, quote-unquote, unto Sri Krishna. In this material world, everyone is a pashu, an animal, because of the bodily conception of life. Yasyatma bhudi kunape tritha tuke swadhi kalatra dishu bhauma ijjadhi yatirta buddhi salile nakar hichij janeshva bhigyeshu sa eva gokara. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements as the self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of his birth to be worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge, there is to be considered like a cow or an ass. That's from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 84th chapter, 13th verse. Practically everyone, therefore, is a pashu, an animal, and everyone is attacked by the crocodile of material existence. Not only the king of the elephants, but every one of us is being attacked by the crocodile and is suffering the consequences. Only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he is always trying to deliver us. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridyasharjuna tishtati. He is within our hearts and he is not at all inattentive. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, Bhuri Karunaya Namo Layaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated and he tries to make us liberated. But although he is constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Nonetheless, he has not become angry. Therefore, he is described here as buddhi karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. Om Agyanti Midandhasya Gananjana Shlaka Chakshurunan Tam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bheshtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gdamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gudau Shri Utapata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Dupam Sagrajatam Sagananagana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahatam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vashakanvitamscha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sandho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Dadhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadadubhyascha Kripa Sandhubhyayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So once again, the translation I'll read, it says, since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me. By your partial feature as Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Gajendra is actually crying out in desperation. He's come to the realization that this material world is nothing but suffering. Even though he's there in the heavenly planets, the experience has been so horrific that he's raising with his trunk this lotus flower and begging the Supreme Lord, please take me back to Godhead. I don't want anything to do with this material existence. Just take me, pick me up, bring me. I don't even care if I leave the body or anything. Just take me with you right now. And while doing this, he's also glorifying Krishna's wonderful qualities. And so Prabhupada takes three of these qualities here in this purport, and he goes into them in great detail. So I would like to just speak a little bit about these three things which Prabhupada mentions in the purport. So the first thing that Prabhupada talks about is that he pulls out from the verse Bhagavate Brihate, and he talks about Vishnu Chakravarti Tati has created this phrase Brihat Mardanga, right? The greater Mardanga of the, he described the printing press as the Brihat Mardanga, the greater Mardanga. It has a much powerful ability to expand the vibration of Krishna's glories throughout the world. So similarly, Krishna is the Brihat Bhagavan. As Prabhupada says here in the purport, that everyone is Bhagavan, everyone possesses opulence, but Krishna is Brihan Bhagavan, the possessor of unlimited opulence. So everywhere we look, all around us, we see that everyone has different kinds of opulences. There's the main opulences are knowledge, fame, strength, renunciation, beauty, right? So we could see someone in this world, maybe there's a person who's very, very beautiful. They may capture our attention. In fact, we become hypnotized by that opulence, right? It completely enthralls us. We can't look away. So that opulence, that beauty that's there in that individual is nothing but a tiny, tiny speck of a speck of a speck of the beauty of Krishna. Whatever we see, if we see someone who's very strong and powerful, that power that they're manifesting, which attracts us, that's a tiny little fragment of a fragment of a fragment of Krishna's power. What to speak of living entities, even everything around us, just the material nature, like this room, we see the ceiling is held up by these four walls, right? So what is it within these walls that's holding it up? It's the way that they've been built. They're harnessing strength. They're embodying the quality of strength, right? So that strength is actually a quality of Krishna. It's a tiny fragment of a fragment of a fragment of Krishna's opulence of strength. So surrounding us at all times, just like a fish is surrounded by the ocean, we're surrounded by the opulence of Krishna manifested through this material nature and embodied by the various living entities, right? Even the great demigods like Brahma, Shiva, they're all, whatever that tremendous, most inconceivable opulence they manifest, it's a tiny fragment of a fragment of Krishna's opulence. So he's the origin of reservoir of all these qualities. So Prabhupada mentions this in relationship to the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He quotes this verse, Atava bahunaitina kim gyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyaham idam kritstam ekangshenas tato jagat. But what need is there, O Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge, with a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So thus Krishna says that the entire material world is maintained by his partial representation as Paramatma. So in that chapter, the 10th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing how basically whatever opulence, whatever wonderful things you see in the world, they're nothing but a tiny bit of my opulence, right? And therefore, by looking at this world and seeing these opulences of this world, you can actually meditate on me. This is what the 10th chapter is about. Among the aquatics, he is the shark, right? So all these various things are mentioned to help us remember Krishna as we move through this material nature. But at the end of the chapter, Krishna says, well, basically, what's the use of describing all these little details? All of this is one tiny little spark of my splendor, which is shining through matter, illuminating it, making it attractive to you, right? Everything that we see, if you just look around the room, all the light, all the life, even the life within all of us, all of this is nothing but Krishna's energies. It's all just manifesting the whole material existence is brought into, you might say it's brought to life by the presence of this one little spark. And so that is how opulent Krishna is, right? And so the idea here is that, and actually towards the end of the chapter, what happens is Arjuna asks, can you please show me that spark? I want to see it. And that's the 11th chapter, right? That's the universal form, is then Krishna showing Arjuna this spark. It's the super soul. It's Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Kshiradakshay Vishnu. shining through matter. Just like, I like to give the example of like a, you've seen like an, a church, they have these stained glass windows, right? It looks very beautiful. There's all these forms and everything. But it's really, it's the light of the sun shining behind it, which is illuminating and making it attractive. So in the same way, this material world is sort of like a stained glass window, and Krishna is like the sun behind it, giving it its life and its power, its beauty. So, and that's, that sun is just one little spark of him, right? So that this is the definition of Brihan Bhagavan, that he is the greatest of those who possess opulence. In fact, all opulence is nothing but his opulence, and that opulence is limitless. You can never come to the end of Krishna's wealth, Krishna's beauty. You can never conceive of it completely because it has no end. It's like an ocean that doesn't end. And so the great devotees, they relish these opulences by swimming within that ocean. Nectar of devotion is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, right? They're trying to taste these various qualities of Krishna. They're not interested. Once you taste those qualities of Krishna, you're not interested in any of the beauty of this material world or any of the opulence of this material world, which is simply reflecting the real beauty that comes from Krishna, right? And these the pure devotees of Krishna, Prabhupada usually mentions in regard to the universal form, is that they're not interested so much in seeing Krishna shine through matter. That's more for individuals who, for like myself, who are more absorbed in material energy, who are attracted to material energy, who identify with the body, who are pashu, an animal, as described in this verse, right? So for such individuals, it's good to, you know, as you're absorbed in your consciousness and material energy, at least try to see how it's connected to Krishna, right? But for those devotees who are purified, in fact, becoming free of the bodily consciousness of life, for the devotee, it's a kind of purification. You scrub your heart and you become cleansed of it. It's a kind of contamination. And so those of us who are freed of that contamination are more interested in seeing the origin, the reservoir of this opulence, which is Krishna himself, Krishna Swayam Bhagavan, which is another thing that is being mentioned in the purport in regards to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that Krishna is the source of all these opulence. It means that Krishna in Goloka, right? And so here we have, you know, Rukmini Dwarkadish. So this beautiful form of Krishna playing the flute, he is the reservoir of all these opulences and qualities. And this is what the pure devotees, this is who the pure devotees concentrate their minds upon 24 hours a day. Satatam kirtayantamam. Right? They're constantly glorifying and remembering Krishna. So another quality mentioned here by Prabhupada that he brings out in the purport is this Pashu Pasha Vimuktaya. So, and Gajendra is saying, since an animal such as me is surrendered unto you, who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. And Prabhupada says in the purport, in this material world, everyone is a Pashu, an animal, because of the bodily concept of life. And then Prabhupada quotes the verse, Yasyatma Bhutit Kunape Dridha Duke, that a human being who identifies the body made of the three elements as the self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsman, who considers the land of his birth to be worshipable, and goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe, rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge, there is to be considered like a cow or an ass. So the nature of this bodily consciousness of life, which it drags our consciousness into matter, and we're sort of entangled within matter. So this is just like an animal. And so for those of us in the bodily concept of life, we should understand our position is very degraded. It's not a very high position. It's just like, for example, in rural America, like if you go outside the city, you'll see everywhere is there's barbed wire fences, right, around all the properties. And so many times you'll find animals get caught in these fences. You could see like those videos on the internet and stuff, where there's, you know, a deer or a wolf or a fox or something like that gets entangled in a fence. You know, usually the farmer's out driving on his property and he sees, you know, an animal, and it's such a pitiful condition, right? They try to jump through the fence or they try to jump over it and they get stuck. And the barbed wire tears into their flesh, right? And the more that you struggle, the more they kick their legs and they get it, they actually get the wire twisted around their limbs, right? And by the end of a few hours, they're completely exhausted and they can't even move. In fact, you know, there's blood dripping from their body, And it's just this quivering mass of fur and flesh, you know. And it's very, very pitiful. And they can't even move another inch. They've twisted themselves so tightly that they can't move anymore, right? So it's pretty sad. And you see them, and they're just whimpering. And then when the human being comes up, usually the farmer, at least these days, maybe in the previous times, they would just shoot them, right? But nowadays, the consciousness is a little better. So they come up with a pair of pliers, and they'll cut the wiring to try to let him free. And even as the human is approaching, they start squirming. No, death is coming, right? They're terrified. So this is the nature of material existence, that the living entity, we're like pashus. We become entangled, pashu-pasha. We become completely twisted up in this material nature. You may think you're very intelligent, we have a good plan, I'm going to do this, I have this idea, I'm going to follow this path, and I'm going to somehow, you know, make material energy work for me, right? I'm going to somehow make things go according to my plan, I'm going to achieve this goal, and I'll be happy, at least happier than I am now, right? But the reality is that that doesn't work. As you go along this path, very quickly, you become entangled. You completely forget what your plan was. Nothing even worked out the way you thought it would, right? And usually you just end up in a very difficult situation that you can't see any way out of. And you don't even understand how you got into it. That's just the nature of material energy. Whatever endeavor you make for material sense gratification, you will become bound and entangled. What to speak of the law of karma, right? Which is also entangling you. So in this way, we're like, you know, you get this, you know, I'm real confident, here I go, you know, I'm going to go enjoy material energy, I've got all these plans. But by the end, you're like, you know, you're just twisted up into like this wreck, this bleeding, squirming, squealing wreck, right? And so the only one that can deliver us from this condition is Krishna. Of course, in Vedic culture, maybe they didn't have barbed wire, but you would see, you know, you'd be walking through the forest, you know, you're like Narada Muni, you know, chanting Hare Krishna. And you see there's a animal caught in a trap. This is what the different hunters would do, is they'd set down a trap and it would bind the animal like that. So you'd see it, you know, there on the path, you know, twisting, it's kicking its legs, right? So therefore this Pashu Pasha, Krishna is Vimuktaya, he's liberated. He's completely liberated and he wants us to be liberated too. He's not in any way entangled. But this is how he sees us and this is how we are. We're twisted up in this wiring and we're suffering horribly. And so Gajendra is having this realization that, my Lord, this is my condition. This is what my condition is. Please, just cut me free. Take me, right? Embrace me. Bring me into your arms and take me out of this horrible condition. And you remember, he began in a so-called material, wonderful material position. He's in the heavenly planets enjoying. And then just out of nowhere, without even, you know, no warning, an alligator, he couldn't see, it's under the water, it grabbed him by the leg. And it turned his heaven into hell. Right? This is the nature of material existence, and we can see it many, many times, especially if you live among devotees. You know, you see that you live among people very closely, and you get to observe the course of material nature that we all go through, right? And you can be going along very, very nicely, and everything seems to be so smooth, and, you know, material life, it's difficult, but it's not that difficult. And then just out of nowhere, bam, the alligator grabs your leg, right? And, you know, you find out, you know, you're going to die in 2 weeks, right? You can see that just out of nowhere, the nature of material energy just hits you like a freight train. You don't know what's going to happen just around the corner. You know, we all experience our family members or those that we love dearly. They die, they get diseased, right? We experience so many horrific things in material existence. And oftentimes we go through experiences that we feel, you know, smarshan vairagya. All of a sudden we feel, you know what? I've had it with this material world, isn't it? You go, you know, your father, you watch your father die of cancer or something like that, or some horrible situation. You go into the room and you see him emaciated, you know, this individual that cared for you so much and there's nothing you can do. And you leave the room and you feel, my gosh, you know, this material world is horrible, right? I may be attached to some certain things, but this is not worth it. You know, I don't want to stay here any longer. Let me out. And you're praying to Krishna, please let me go back to Godhead. But then, you know, immediately, you know, driving down the street and you see, you know, a billboard, what is it like, Captain America 2 or something. Okay, Krishna, maybe you can just hold off on liberating me for just until, what is it, November 21st it's coming out? Right? So then, just let me hold off a little bit, and you very quickly forget how the nature of this material world. In other words, the reality of the material world is this horrible place where it's just like a nightmare. But we become so enamored by it that we forget that, even after we've had realization of it. Even after the illusion, the curtain has been pulled aside and we've seen the ugliness, still we like to draw the curtain back over it and just relax a bit, right? So Gajendra, he's become very determined. Let me out. I don't want this anymore. I don't even want to go back to being king of the elephants, enjoying in this heavenly planet. I'm finished. Take me now, right? King Kulushekar prays, right, in a very similar way. Just take me out of this material existence now. Don't let me become illusioned again. I want to leave now that I have this realization. So then the next point that Prabhupada brings out in the purport is very beautiful. This is very nice. Krishna is described by Gajendra as Huri Karunaya Namo Layaya. So Krishna is within our heart, and he's constantly urging us and guiding us towards liberation. I want to read again what Prabhupada says here. Only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he is always trying to deliver us. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesha arjuna tishtati, 1861. He is within our hearts, and he is not at all inattentive. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. So this is very interesting. The super soul, Krishna, is there within all of our hearts. And the only reason he's there is to try to help us to go back to Godhead. That's his only business here. It's not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. So it's not that Krishna is somehow off somewhere and he doesn't care about us, right? It's not that Krishna has some better things to do and that only when we call him does he pay attention to us. This is sometimes we have this conception of God, that, you know, God really doesn't care. You know, like, because we have this tendency in material existence, we're impersonalists. Because we deal with each other, we deal with matter for our sense enjoyment. We dehumanize it. So we live in this condition where we don't really understand what a real person is, how a real person can be loving, right? And so Krishna is a real person. He's the original person. And so he's extremely loving. It's the nature of God to be very, very loving. Sometimes in the Western conception of God is that he's furious. He hates us, you know. He's just like this Yamaraj, you know, and as soon as you mess up or you don't remember him or whatever, he's going to destroy you. And somehow because you're not perfect, he doesn't care for you. He doesn't like you, right? So this conception is completely destroyed here by the Srimad Bhagavatam, which kicks out all of these lower conceptions. So God is actually extremely merciful. He's extremely kind. He's all loving. And so he's always attentive to us. This is what's very fascinating, is that he's always attentive. Even right now, inside each of our hearts, the Supersoul is attentive to us. He's paying attention to us. He's watching us. He's absorbed in us. And he's thinking of how to help us to go back to Godhead. Does that make sense? It's just like a mother is always watching a child and conscious of a child. So simply the Supreme Lord is always conscious of us and always watching us from within and trying to help us 24/7. He never stops, right? He never forgets us. We may forget him, but he never forgets us. And he's always trying to get us to remember him. So as it says here, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, which means he's very active. He's very active trying to deliver us. He cares a lot, right? Therefore, this verse says, Bhuri Karunaya Namo Layaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. Because he's such a wonderful person. Because he's so merciful. It's just like you've seen this concept of this archetype, like the boxing coach. You know, there's the guys, he's a boxer and he's fighting. And as you're fighting, and if anyone's ever done any sports like that, like martial arts, or I remember I used to wrestle in high school. So it's like you become exhausted, you know, just after a few minutes, like maybe even just 2 minutes. You know, you train and train and train, and then as soon as you get in the ring, after at least like 2 or 3 minutes, you're totally exhausted. And you can't go anymore. It's just two guys kind of leaning on each other and trying to put weight on each other and exhaust each other. And so at that time you have the coach, you know, and everything kind of gets fuzzy, right? Everything gets really like dark or almost like tamagoon. You know? You're kind of just really trying to survive, you know. But you hear back there, and you could hear, get up, get up, get up, you know, push your legs, right? Use your legs, use your legs. You know, sometimes he even uses foul language, you know, right? So, you know, you rascal, we'll say, right? You rascal, get on your feet, you know? So in the same way, Krishna's there. He's in our corner, right? And he loves us. He's not saying it out of anger. He loves us. And he's saying, get up, you rascal, you know? Kick, push your legs, chant your rounds, hear the mantra, right? So in this way, Krishna's instructing us. Now, we receive this instruction. We may not hear Krishna directly, but we receive it through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But we have a problem is that we ignore it. We don't like it, right? We turn away. Just like if you're there and you hear the coach, but you have an option to give up if you want, right? He won't let you give up. As long as you listen to him, he'll keep you going. But you have the option to turn him off. You can just pretend that it's not there. I don't care. I know, you know, mom and dad are there in the stands watching, and the whole team is right there. They're all yelling and everything, and the coach is there. He's like just inches away. But, you know, I just want to sleep. That's really what you're thinking about when you're wrestling or something, you know. I'm just going to just put my face on the mat, and I'm just going to give up, you know. So that's our tendency. We can ignore Krishna. And therefore, Prabhupada says here, God is liberated, and he tries to make us liberated. Although he is constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. This is from 1866. Nonetheless, he has not become angry. This is very interesting. Because he's karuna, he's full of mercy. Even though we're so foolish and we're always ignoring him and turning away and choosing the wrong path, he doesn't give up on us. And he's not angry. He's not like, you know, throw a lightning bolt, or, you know, you're going to burn in a lake of fire forever, right? Rather, he's constantly trying and trying and trying to get us to take his instructions seriously. So Prabhupada says, therefore he's described here as Bhuri Karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. So like Gajendra, if we understand our condition in this material nature, use our intelligence, listen to the instructions of Krishna, and follow the instructions of Krishna, recognize this material world as a place of suffering, offer our lotus flower to Krishna, and cry out in great sincerity that, Krishna, please make me your devotee, take me back to Godhead. Right? Understanding that, yes, we may be weak, but Krishna is unlimitedly strong. He's the source of all strength, of all opulences. He's the most attractive. Whatever we're attracted to, it's nothing but a reflection of Krishna's glories. And in this way, taking shelter of Krishna, who's most merciful, we could be sure that he'll take us back to Godhead. There is hope. Okay, thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. Sure, of course. Question is that, so when it's saying here that Krishna is trying to liberate the living entity from within, yes, that's the non-devotees also, it's everybody.
And so I have a question on that. I think I heard from you from Bhakti Shastri class that when you're not trying to surrender to Krishna, you're just kind of living a material life, that Krishna just kind of lets you play out your karma. And then once you actually try to surrender to him, he like personally takes care of you.
But yeah, sure. So yes, it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita that you know, Krishna interacts in two ways. One is for the soul trying to surrender to him; he reciprocates very intimately, just as he is with you, right? Trying to get you to be a devotee. Whereas for the soul who doesn't want to, then he doesn't interfere. It's just like if you choose to ignore Krishna, he doesn't interfere with your free will. He allows you to ignore him. He'll allow you to be into illusion. He doesn't force you to surrender. But nevertheless, even though he's within your heart, yes, he's taking this neutral position towards your material life. He doesn't get involved in your material life and try to give you material sense gratification. I think that's your business. You're engaging in a kind of illusion under the spell of karma. But nevertheless, he does try to help the conditioned souls to change their attitude and to change their mind and to use their free will properly. And that's what this Krishna consciousness movement is. It's by the mercy of the pure devotees that Krishna intervenes in the life of the conditioned soul and reminds them of himself. Does that make sense? So he's still working to give mercy to the living entity, even though they don't want it. But there's a certain, he doesn't force them to use their free will against their free will. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Can you also say that about like other religions trying to preach like what they're trying to teach? And like people can only like accept God to their capacity of like understanding, or do you know what I mean?
I mean, Krishna says, "Yaya tamam pabhadinte tam stadai vajamiham," that Krishna reciprocates with you to the degree that you surrender. So I mean, most religions, general world religions, they're usually teaching sort of mundane ethics. They're talking about how to be a good person and things like that. And there's some mixture of devotion there. So it's certainly elevating, but it's elevating towards a deeper and deeper level of surrender. So what you see in Vaishnavism is a more clear and purified understanding of the Supreme Lord, the goal, the path of surrender, the relationship between the nature of Krishna and his energies, right, and their relationships. So that is actually a more powerful or intimate level of surrender. In other words, there's a certain amount of instruction that's there which allows you to surrender more powerfully, right? Allows you to surrender more deeply. Whereas in other religions, someone may be surrendering, but there's a kind of limited level of understanding and information, and the process isn't so clear as well. But nevertheless, it is uplifting. It's better than nothing. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.